The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests of Reality Realty are not necessarily the views or opinions of Northumberland 89.7 FM. The information given is designed to be informative and helpful. You should always consult a professional when buying or selling your home.
Hello, Northumberland County, and welcome to Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's Real Estate Talk Show, where we take on, we talk about, and we interview guests on all things real estate with a direct focus on Northumberland County and the communities within it. I'm Dale Bryant, and I'm a real estate broker, and my co-host is Mr. Dave Smith, Certified Home Inspector. Good morning, Dave.
I'm really happy to see you put the Mr. on there. I think it's time for an upper level of respect from you, Mr. Bryant.
Sorry if you haven't detected that in weeks gone by.
It isn't a detection necessary. It's just not there.
And what about what just happened here on our technical intro?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
How long have we been doing this, Dave?
For long enough that we shouldn't be making those sort of errors.
But maybe the soundboard isn't our forte. No, well, Dave, today's show, we're going to have a little bit of a heavy show going on here. We'll be taking on some heavy topics. So I called on a heavy hitter in our industry to be one of our guests this morning. We have Dan Bulger, broker of record and owner of Pentel Realty here in Northumberland County. And we're going to be taking a look at the unethical practice of the phantom offer. You may not have heard of the phantom offer. You'll certainly understand what we're talking about when we talk about it. And we're going to look at how it's being handled as of July the 1st this year. We'll also take a look at the often controversial Zucasa real estate company owned by Rogers Communications and take a look at its near future. Also, we'll talk about the Park Theater in Cobourg and the attempt for our town to purchase the Park Theater and how it was publicized and how this publicity could affect its future sale. We'll also cover how to survive your home inspection. We've sort of changed that up, Dave.
Yeah, you caught on to that pretty quick. You were right on the switch there. I slipped that one in at the end. I didn't know if you'd catch it, but you get high marks today for
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. That's what coffee will do. And we'll look at Snapshot, which is a snapshot of today's residential real estate market here in Northumberland County. And we'll also look at our points to ponder. So, Dave, why don't you start us off with how to survive your home inspection?
All right. For those of you who weren't with us last week, I just want to remind you we've changed this up a little bit. And every week I'm going to pull from my list the most common items that are found during my inspections. Many of them are minor or even trivial. But in my experience, as they start adding up during an inspection, a buyer can start feeling overwhelmed and maybe even concerned about buying your house. So the goal here is to try to get as many of them finished before the home inspection actually takes place. So this is the second part. And you're keeping track, Dale. I don't see you taking copious notes, so I hope you are, but I'm trusting you on that.
I have a memory like a sponge.
Yeah, like SpongeBob, maybe. What's in your attic? One of the more stressful parts of every home inspection is when I go into the attic. It's so much that I, like most professional home inspectors, strategically place this part of my inspection to prepare the buyer and, for that matter, the agent for what may be found, okay? And what might we find when we get up in the attic? Well, we might find the number one concern is probably mold. We might find mold when we look up in an attic, and we also may find what the possible causes are. And I think it's fair to say that most professional home inspectors are looking for solutions, and every problem has a solution. So if we do find mold up in the attic, we're looking for the possible causes. Causes quite often of mold in an attic are bathroom vent fans that are not vented to the outside, or for that matter, you will see it in dryer vents as well. You can see it in venting from plumbing, where basically warm, moist air is being vented into the attic space. Specifically in the winter time is when it causes problems, because you will have condensation form on the underside of your sheathing, which forms as frost. And then as the weather gets warmer, it of course melts, and it gives a perfect place for mold to grow. Mold needs three things. It needs darkness, it wants moisture, and it wants organics. So it's supplied by the darkness, obviously, in an attic. The moisture is the moisture you're putting up into that attic. And then the organics are the wood that it grows on. So it can be a fairly sizable, substantial issue with not the quickest fix when it comes to a home inspection. The quality of the insulation is what we're going to find out when we get up there, and the threats of that insulation. And threats in insulation can be, one of them is vermiculite insulation, which in itself is not a problem, but what the problem with vermiculite is the possibility of it containing asbestos, which I probably don't have to really flesh that out. I think most people have an idea of asbestos and the threat, but that could be a sizable remedy as well. General leakage. So this is the way of finding out if the roof coating, and that is the shingles that are on the roof, or the roof coating if it's a metal roof. This could, seeing any leakage up in the attic space could hint at the possible failing roofing from below. Venting issues of all sorts. Vermin, squirrels, raccoons, mice. What the threat is with the bigger things like raccoons is raccoons will actually create an area about 4x4 or 4x6 where they'll actually get rid of all of the insulation in that area and use that as, let's just say, the bathroom. So it obviously is a threat to the home and a threat to those that try to go up there, because aside from wolverines, as you know, Dale, which are pound for pound one of the most vicious animals alive, raccoons can hold their own against a Dale Bryant going up on a ladder. Just picking on you there, Dale, but that's a possibility. Electrical concerns, knob and tube wiring, aluminum wiring, and unprofessional procedures are often left in an attic for me as a home inspector to find. So what can you do? Well, number one, when you go up in an attic, regardless of how confident you are when you go up there, you should always wear a mask. I'd recommend you wear a hat when you go up, because you don't know what's up there, and you want to protect yourself. And also, especially with newer homes with the loose insulation, when you actually open up an attic hatch, it creates a negative atmospheric effect, and quite often it'll actually just suck right down into the living space. So wearing a hat and safety glasses, which is I always wear, is a good idea. And have a good flashlight, because there's no point in going up there if you can't actually see. So get prepared, and then stick your head up there. If you see anything that concerns you, get a qualified professional to take a look as well. Ignorance is not bliss when getting ready to list your home, or when it comes to the health and safety of the family, the buyers, or yours. So what's in your attic? Stick your head up there and find out. That will be how to survive your home inspection this week.
Now, Dave, for personal protective equipment, I didn't notice you mention a gun.
Well, I like to, I take some pride in being able to arm wrestle wolverines.
And raccoons?
Not at the same time, though, because it's just too much to bear. But yes, I'm pretty brave. When you see me up there, I'm pretty brave.
All right. So the message to the listenership is do not bring the gun.
Do not bring the gun, maybe a paintball gun.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Dave. Let's take a look at a snapshot of today's residential real estate market here in Northumberland County. So over the past month, we've had a rise in activity. We had...
Which is amazing.
Yeah, because for the 4 weeks previous,
it was slowly
trending down. But last month, we had 130 residential listings sell here on the board in Northumberland County, which is up from last week's report of 109. So a significant increase. Listings for sale today... Well, they're down. They're down to 428 from 438. So I guess that's where they went. They got sold. Average listing price of residential real estate that's sold over the past 12 months here in Northumberland County, the listing price on average has been $306,000. And those homes have been selling for, on average, approximately 296,000. So people are still receiving approximately 96.9% of their asking price in a market time of approximately 75 days on average. So when we take some of these figures and we create an absorption rate to find out are we in a seller's market, a balanced market, or a buyer's market, we have an absorption rate now this week of 30%. So we are still definitely in a seller's market. It went up from last week's report of 25 because we have less supply on hand. So if you're thinking of buying or selling a home, you'll want this sort of information specific to the area, the property type, or the price band you're looking for. So talk to your realtor to understand the market information most relevant to you. And these statistics and the information required to calculate the absorption rate come to us from the Northumberland Hills Association of Realtors. So thank you to Jeanette and Lynn, who work very hard in the board office. Today's mortgage rates, they remain the same. Best five-year fixed is reported at 2.49, and the best five-year variable is at 2%. And today's mortgage rates come to us from mortgage broker Carol Ann Bryant here in Northumberland County. She is with the Mortgage Wellness Group on Elgin Street in Cobourg. So, points to ponder, Dave.
Yes.
I'm going to look at marketing. Because marketing is such a key factor for just about anything you do. I mean, if you're a big business, a small business, if you're even running a charity to get the involvement, to get the people wanting to be part of your cause, to get an excitement there, marketing's such a key factor.
Well, and marketing differs from advertising. I often hear them being used back and forth. But marketing is also more than just advertising. It's about face-to-face meeting. It's about working with those people in your industry on an ongoing basis, being seen, being available. It's more than just taking out ads or putting up signs. It's about being involved in your community and being involved in your industry on a face-to-face and forming relationships.
Exactly. And the advertising is a piece of the marketing.
Absolutely.
And the branding is a piece of the marketing. And if we take a look at, say, coffee, I like to pick on coffee because it's an easy example. And you take a look at, say, Tim Hortons. Now, it's hard to find a lineup that's larger for a coffee than a Tim Hortons. Yet, many would say that Tim Hortons is the best coffee, but many would say there are other coffees that are better than a Tim Hortons. So,
who are those people?
I don't know.
I want to know the. I want names.
I don't know. We're not doing names here.
You're touching on a sensitive
subject.
But it's
all about marketing.
All right.
So, how does your realtor market your home, and what do you expect from your realtor in marketing a home? And I go back to the CREA 2014 report, where they take surveys on people who have sold their home in 2014 to estimate. And they ask a number of questions. One of the questions is, how did you find your home? What kind of marketing actually worked? And I guess this part here is the advertising part of the marketing. And so what I'd like is, if you're listening and you have an idea of what is important to you in marketing your home, what would you expect from your realtor when you're listing your home? Give us a call here at the station. What's the number here? Dave, we got
372-2391 or 2321.
Yeah, give us a call here or contact Dave Smith or myself, Dale Bryant.
Because he knows the number.
Well, Dave can pass it on. And let us know. I'd like to air the results on what you expect from marketing your home when listing your home.
And they can email us as well. We'll give the email addresses at the end of the show, as usual.
Absolutely. So be ready with a pen and paper at the end of the show. And we always give you our email addresses. And the strongest point in marketing, and there's no one strong point, but first of all, the house itself. You have to brand your home. You have to make it look the best it can look. And going back to the home inspection and being ready for your home inspection, you have to make it in the best maintenance shape that you can have it, because you're competing. You're typically competing with other homes.
You cannot just put it on. You have to do your part. If you want to get the maximum out of it, you have to do your maximum contribution to selling your home. Having a good realtor, having good marketing, but you also have to be prepared yourself to get your home as good as it can be before you can really present it to your realtor. That's his tool. That's his or her strongest tool to market that product. So you've got to make your product as good as you can make it.
Yeah, and then you make it as good as you can make it. And according to that career report for 2014, the biggest component of the advertising aspect of the marketing is the web presence at 91% effectiveness.
Undoubtedly.
You know, the newspapers, where in the world are the newspapers? They're way down at 9%. So often you get sellers and they say, I haven't seen my house in the paper, because they don't understand the dynamics of the different marketing techniques.
I don't want to beat up on newspapers, but for the longest time, I would say for 10 or 12 years, I had the Toronto Sun and the Toronto Star delivered to my home. I have not purchased a newspaper in years at this point. Mm. So that's the reality of the changing market. This is Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio. Join Dale and myself after this short break. We're going to be talking to Mr. Dan Boger from Pentel Realty about the Phantom Offer and much more. Come on back.
This is Cary Grant. Make sure you come to see me and my celebrity friends, as well as 35 legendary singers like Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, Bobby Vinton, and Hank Snow. Whatever you think, monkey face.
Celebrities by Houston McPherson at the Concert Hall at Victoria Hall in Coburg, 8 p.m. on June 20th. For ticket information, call 905-372-2210 or visit concerthall@victoriahall.com.
Kurt, come on in, take a seat. So after much thought and consideration, we're going to be moving in a different direction, so we're going to have to let you go.
Let me go, but why?
We got a really sweet deal on this robot called the Kurtbot 2000, and we really couldn't pass it up. Go for it, Kurtbot.
So I'll be in Monday night?
Yeah, you'll be in Monday night.
For the best of today's modern rock, tune into the music scene Monday nights, 10 to 12, here on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio, with your host, the real Kurt White.
Welcome back, and this is Dale Bryant and Dave Smith on Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM local real estate talk. Today we have Dan Boger in the studio with us. Dan has been a licensed realtor for 15 years, and he's presently broker of record and owner of the family real estate brokerage Pentel Realty, which Dan's father, Joseph Boger, opened in 1995. At that time, Pentel Realty specialized in commercial real estate, and around the time Dan joined the business, Pentel expanded into residential real estate as well. Dan's family has a history here in Northumberland County, and they settled here in the early 1860s. Welcome, Dan.
Thanks, Dale. It's really nice to be here, and thanks for the invite.
You're very welcome. Well, you know, Dan, we have some heavy topics here, and so I definitely wanted to bring in someone that has experience in the real estate industry and in particular experience here in Northumberland County. Dan, can you tell us a little bit about the Pentel name? You know, it's Dan Boger, it's Joseph Boger. Where did Pentel come from?
Well, I'm going to have to kind of give a little bit of background. My mother and father started Pentel with a couple of other companies many years ago. Mm-hmm. And we often asked them as kids, where did you come up with this name? And they invariably gave us several answers. But the common one was that Pentel, the pent as in five. I have five siblings, so
right.
There are five children in the family. And they came up with that to kind of recognize our family dynamics.
Wow. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. And you would never have figured that out without asking.
There you go. Whether it's the truth or not,
okay. It's just it's family lore.
Absolutely. And I'm sticking to that story anyway, so.
All right. Well, Dan, let's start off with this phantom offer. A lot of the folks won't understand what we mean when they just hear phantom offer. But can you tell us a bit about what the phantom offer is?
Well, really, and it really isn't prevalent in our area, but when you get into hot markets and like into the GTA area, what mm-hmm. you're going to find is that if you're a realtor and you're showing properties where properties are moving very quickly, the insinuation may be coming from a listing agent that there are several other offers coming in. And in the past, we've really had no way to verify that. So an agent may hint that there's another offer coming in without really the ability to say, yes, it has happened, or can you show us something to prove that there are other offers? So it's created a bit of a surge in buyers who have been potentially beaten out on other offers, mm-hmm. that they're really anxious to get a home. And so when they hear that there's potentially other offers, that may be driving the price up in the industry, and unnecessarily so.
Yeah, exactly. Because, Dan, if you have a buyer and they're interested in a particular property, the offer looks a lot different if they know they're competing, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We would have to prep our buyers to make their offer as appealing as possible to the seller. So they may forego some conditions that would normally be in an offer, mm-hmm. you know, such as financing, such as possibly even a home inspection, but we don't want to hear that, do we, Dave?
No, we never want to hear that, no. Dan. So you must be new here.
Yeah, that's right. So, there's pressure on them, and maybe the buying agent is really giving them advice. Look at, do you really want the home? And mm-hmm. you're going to have to take those steps. So if you're not competing, of course, you want to have a lot of protection in those offers to protect your client. You know, you want the financing, especially home inspection, and all those other conditions that protect the buyer. And when you're competing, you really want it to look attractive. And so you may want to forego those conditions. So it does put the buyer at a bit of a risk. And that's the unfortunate part about these phantom offers.
Well, and your business, your entire business is steeped in references to ethics and ethical conduct. And what this would do is when this happens, or it can happen, you've got someone that's almost competing against themselves, essentially. And that's where the phantom idea comes in. Maybe it's a nice word to put on there, but yeah. That's essentially what you're doing. You're possibly forcing the buyer into maybe overextending themselves or removing a condition. And obviously, I'm a little biased to home inspection, but maybe removing a condition that they shouldn't. And I think this is a valid way to go. If you have this, I realize negotiation is negotiation, but mm-hmm. it should be, in my world, it should be above board. If you really have an offer coming in, then you don't have to reveal anything more than just verification, even if it's done in confidentiality.
Absolutely. With the changes starting as of July 1st, there's going to be an obligation for the selling brokerage to hang on to those offers for any future auditing done by our regulatory body, RICO, and which it's good. Any legislation that protects our clients is good legislation. There, you'll read that there are some jurisdictions that say, "No, we don't have that problem. So why do we need to make those changes?" Well, as an evolving industry, every time that we make an effort to protect our clients, it's a good change.
Well, you look at just as an extension of that, I mean, we have seen unprecedented new high watermarks in Northumberland County because of the effect of the GTA. As far as real estate, we new records, you know, we're seeing multiple offers. I have a limited time in the real estate, and I'm not in the real estate industry, but being affected by it. I have a limited time in it, but I'm hearing from those experienced realtors that we're seeing things we have never seen before, at least not in the amount that we are. And you know, so many new offices in the area are now listed with TREB or the Toronto Real Estate Board. So anything in Toronto is going to emanate out. So I think it's being preemptive by introducing this into some areas. And I think in fairness, as a layman, I would say it should be across the board. I don't think it's something you should be allowed to opt out of.
I hear you, and I agree. So when we have buyers coming in from the West who have been experiencing those multiple offers, they're carrying that attitude into our area. And if we have realtors insinuating that there are other offers, they're going to automatically raise their bid.
Right.
So, again, any legislation that protects our clients is good legislation.
I agree.
Well, Dan, in the past, when I have a client and it's a multiple offer situation, I like to say to them, make your offer in such a way that you won't be sorry if you don't get the home, but also be aware that you won't be sorry if you do get the home. So it's a tough balance. But if somebody has suspected in the past that they're just questioning whether there was another offer, whether they were actually truly competing, what kind of infrastructure have we had in the past? What would a person have been able to do prior to July 1st?
Really, very little, because you would have to go on the word of the realtor, and if you went to the brokers themselves, they probably wouldn't be keeping those documents on file. Really, with the Privacy Act, we have an obligation as well. So there's a balancing act here, too, because we do have to dispose of personal information after a certain period of time. So with that being said, in the past, it would be really just the word of the listing agent and the brokerage that says, yes, we did have other offers presented, but nothing concrete, nothing on paper. So this new legislation obligates the brokerages to maintain those records for a minimum of a year.
And if you're coming in from out of town or out of province, which is something our family has dealt with many times, not only do we not know anything about the integrity of that listing agent or that office, but you, as acting as my buyer's agent, may not know of them either.
Yep.
And like you say, Dan, I recently had a house that sold, and we had 8 offers come in. And so, obviously, we accepted the one offer, and so there's 7 other offers there. And normally that would have been time to hit the shredder.
Yep.
But because I knew this new legislation was coming into effect, I said, well, why not start a little early? So now we have to file those offers, be it hard copy or even electronically, for that 1 year, like you say. So any other thoughts on this, Dan, how this could affect our industry?
I just think it makes it better. I really do. I just go back to basics, and I don't like to refer to real estate as 101, but as long as we're looking out for the interest of the consumer, who are our clients, and I want, and when we are affected by other markets, and we are affected by the GTA, and when we have people coming into our community, we are a small market here, and we deal with realtors on a regular basis, the same realtors. Whereas in Toronto, where there's 40,000 realtors, you may come across them once in your career. So you don't know about their background and how they present. But I would suspect that every realtor in a smaller market would really embrace these changes, because it just enhances who we are and how we deal with our clients.
Yeah, you're exactly right. What do we have? Approximately 135, 140
That's right.
realtors in our board. So we know each other. We know our characteristics and how we like to do up an offer and such. So it is a lot safer atmosphere here, isn't it?
Right.
Well, and I think it's fair to say I'm a capitalist at heart, and I believe you should get as much for your home as you possibly can, and I think that every family should be able to purchase a home. But as long as everything's on the same level, I think it's the way to go, in my opinion. This is Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio. Join Dan, Dale, and me after this short break, and we're going to continue to talk about other aspects of real estate, including Rogers Media's Zucasa. What it started out as, what it became, and what's happening next.
For over 35 years, Northumberland Security Incorporated has been providing everything necessary for physical and electronic security. From locks, alarms, safes, access control to surveillance systems, and handicap door operators. We are virtually a one-stop personal and property security center, operating from Pickering to Peterborough to Picton and everywhere in between. Visit us at 22 King Street West in Cobourg, online at northumberlandsecurity.com, or call 905-372-8951, the professional security team.
The story you are about to hear is true.
Ed White fixed my refrigerator.
And?
He did a great job. Now I don't need to buy a new fridge. And if I don't get a new fridge, then I won't need a whole new kitchen to go with it. So my guy is saying Ed White saved him $20,000.
Guys, save 20 grand. Call Ed White Appliance Service in Port Hope at 905-885-7109.
Yes, it is worth fixing.
Old Time Radio has a new home. Classic radio dramas, suspense, and comedies. Sunday evenings, 9 until midnight, here on Northumberland 89.7.
Get your kilts and bagpipes ready, Northumberland. On June 20th, come down to Victoria Park in Cobourg and experience the 52nd annual Highland Games. Join in on all the fun as over 30 marching pipe bands from across the country will be on hand to entertain. The fun continues with heavyweight lifting events, Highland dancers, live music, and so much more. Plus, get in on the raffle for your chance to win two Via Rail tickets to Halifax and up to $1,000 in prizes. Tickets start at just $15. Kids 12 and under get in free. For more information, visit CoburgHighlandGames.ca.
Welcome back. This is Dale Bryant and Dave Smith on Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's local real estate talk. We're live here in the studio with Dan Bulger, broker of record and owner of Pentel Realty, located right here in Cobourg. And last time, last segment, we were talking about the Phantom Offer, which not many people would have heard about, but I'm sure as we spoke about it, they could relate to how something like this could happen and how it could affect a transaction in real estate. And the legislation that's been being introduced on July 1st to protect the consumer from it. This segment, we'd like to talk about Zucasa. Now, you may have heard of Zucasa. They are owned by Rogers Communications, and being a big entity like that, they had lots of resources to do a lot of advertising. You would have seen a strong web presence from them. You would likely have recognize some of their commercials on television. And we just want to talk about what the Zucasa company real estate model was, what it is today, and what it will be later on this month. So, Dan, I know you are very familiar with Zucasa. And do you want to tell us a little bit about Zucasa and how it started off in our industry?
Well, Zucasa was really set up to be a referral agency to filter realtors to potential clients, buyers and sellers, through the referral system. And once they got going, they did become a licensed real estate brokerage. The whole idea was to really the bottom line, Rogers was after these potential clients for their core industry of telecommunications.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really was the setup of it. So they were trying to enter another industry to gain their core business
to build that up.
Yeah.
Years ago, 15 years ago probably, when the internet first started growing, they said the next big industry is going to be information. And I thought to myself, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And every day it seems to me that it's becoming clearer and clearer to me what that really meant and the value of information as an industry. Yeah. And this is obviously a classic example of it. I mean, it comes in as a real estate entity, but in they're really looking at information gathering and the value of that information that's gathered from a particular demographic.
Yep, that's right.
Wow.
So, and really what the argument has been when Zucasa was getting this information or referring the information is, who owns that information? Who owns that personal data and the information that they were disseminating out there. So their Toronto Real Estate Board really pressed hard to get them to back off on disseminating that information, because there is a strong argument. Who owns that? Do our clients want that information put out there about home
sales? Were they aware?
And aware, of course. And did they agree? So Zukasa did actually agree to stop disseminating that information, and I think that was their ultimate demise.
Well, I remember also, Dan, back in 2010, there was a Zukasa representative that came into our brokerage, and maybe I'm sure they would have at least approached you to see if they could have come in. Did you get that kind of call from them?
We did. Yeah. We didn't spend a lot of time with them, but we did get that call.
Yeah. And so they came into our brokerage. We let them come in and be a guest and just talk about what they did back in 2010. And back then, they were like a third-party place that you could list a home. There's a lot of them out there, especially in the U.S. If you start to browse the web in the U.S. on listings, you'll see a lot of those. And then they were like coming alongside as if they're doing us a big favor, because they'd allow us as realtors put a profile on their webpage for free. And it seemed like potentially a no-brainer. Why wouldn't you want to do that?
Yeah. Well, can we just back it up just a little bit? You gentlemen, with the experience that you have, so Zukasa was not a brand per se. It wasn't a Pentel or a Royal LePage or a Remax. They were specifically non-brand specific. Am I correct on that?
That's correct. Any brokerage agents could join up with Zukasa to be one of their referral agents.
I mean, the way they marketed on their radio commercials, which is where I heard it the most, was that they have plucked the prime, high-performing realtors from all across the area. And I don't think they're ever specific on the area, because radio was difficult to do that. Like our reach, what do we reach, Dale, on Reality Realty? About, I think it's about 60 million people we reach every week.
That's a little exaggeration. Maybe cut that.
Well, I haven't got the numbers down.
I'm getting a little nervous now.
but no, the idea was, or the way it was sold, we talked about marketing a little early in the show, or advertising, was that these were going to be the prime non-brand specific realtors. The goal being is that you were going to be getting the tippy top of the tippy top when you listed your home.
Yeah. And I think what they missed, Zukasa missed the boat. So when they were engaging these high profile realtors, they were actually
allegedly.
Yes. They forgot about our community, that people want to deal with people in their community. They want to deal with realtors who understand their communities, but most importantly, understand them, their needs. Not just send a high flyer into the area but that doesn't understand the community. And that was happening. Mm-hmm.
Because it's a relationship business.
That's right. It is a relationship business. So go back to basics again. You know what? The most important part, yes, we have to understand our industry as realtors. We have to be well-educated, but we most importantly have to understand our clients. And if you're just parachuting in and not understanding what the needs are within the community for your client and what your client is actually looking for, that's where they missed the boat.
Exactly. And then when Zukasa turned into the brokerage, and then they started to, instead of just giving us a free profile online and letting people come to us directly, then they were just really trying to take a chunk of that business that already existed. I know personally, they approached me and they offered to send their leads to me. And I'd heard of them. I knew a little bit about them. I knew they were certainly often controversial. So I did a little research and I thought, well, who are they using today? And they had two or three realtors, Dan, set up, and none of them were from our community. They were Durham realtors, and so these were the so-called pros,
right,
for Northumberland County. And so, yeah, you know, looking into it a little bit further, I didn't take them up on their offer, it was just a middleman. It was middleman, in my opinion, trying to get a piece of business that already existed.
That's right.
Well, I don't know anything about Zukasa, other than what I heard on the radio. But I think that it's fair to say in any business model, if your revenue stream, your goal, your sole purpose of in your business model is changed or forcibly changed, as you describe it in regards to information gathering, and if that focus was changed, then their whole business model would change, and they'd have to go in another direction. They have to get revenue from somewhere. And maybe that's where, if things are not going well for them, or however it's described, and again, I don't know much about it, but that would certainly change any business if suddenly that were changed dramatically in regards to revenue stream.
Well, Zucasa is just an example of how our industry is evolving. Recent changes in the Competition Act has opened the door to, mm-hmm. and it's going to continue. So, what's going on here? We need to be relevant to our clients. It's the consumer who's going to dictate the direction we go in, and the real estate industry. And if we as realtors don't adapt to that, we fail. The success of how we trade in real estate will be the realtors who continue to educate themselves throughout their careers, knowing your market, and most importantly, knowing your clients' needs. So we really need to listen to them, mm-hmm. and I think that is the most important thing. And I've recently come across a couple new things. Everybody has heard of, you know, IQ scores. Well, the most recent thing that I've come across and absolutely have bought into is the EQ. It's the emotional quotient mm-hmm. of how we deal with people. And the most successful leaders, the most successful people who are people that have that emotional connection to their client that can empathize mm-hmm. and understand, it goes a lot further than just being able to get 100% on a test or being a very intelligent yeah. person. There's more to it. And our industry, of course, is fraught with emotions. Selling your home is unbelievably emotional.
Mm. So, and stressful.
So when you've develop those relationships with your clients and understand and can empathize, that goes a long ways.
Absolutely. And yeah, the intellectual component is no more important than the people skills that yep. you can have. Absolutely. Now, Zucasa, in the end, they started to publish sales information on homes in people's neighborhoods and regularly send this information out to the public, which it ended up they got in a little bit of butting heads with TREB, the Toronto Real Estate Board, which is definitely the biggest board in Canada and likely one of the largest in North America. In relations to that, Dan, do you think that had a whole lot to do with their future or lack of it?
No, absolutely. TREB lobbied hard to get Zucasa to back off in putting that information out there. So when they did, I think that was the spiral down. So whether we agree or not that disseminating that information to the public mm-hmm. I think that was the downfall, but I think that information, it's going to be the consumer who says, you know what, it's okay to disseminate that information. And when that time comes, or if that time comes, then there may be these third parties that may come back in the realm. But I think at this time, our clients want that information protected.
Absolutely.
All right, so we're going to take a break here. You've been listening to Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio. Please come back. Dan, Dale, and myself, we're going to shift back to local, and we're going to take a look at Coburg's Park Theatre and the town's public attempt to buy it.
Jim McGrath understands that as much as we don't want to talk about it, wills and estate planning is a responsible thing to do for you and your family. With his help, you can reflect on your values and wishes and have a legal direction to let others know what kind of health and personal care you would want if you could not speak for yourself. Jim McGrath has been a lawyer for over 30 years, and he understands the law, so you don't have to. You owe it to yourself and your loved ones to call Jim McGrath today at 905-373-1999.
It's important to know where your food comes from. Shop at the Coburg Farmers Market and you can be assured it's fresh and you're supporting local agriculture in Northumberland. Since 1839, the Coburg Farmers Market has been providing a vital community link from farm to fork. At the market, you'll find organic produce, locally raised meat, and more. It's fun for the whole family. The market is open Saturdays from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. right behind Victoria Hall. Or visit coburgfarmersmarket.ca.
Welcome back. Reality Realty, Dave Smith, Dale Bryant, and Dan Bolger from, I think I pronounced your name differently three times in a row now. Sorry, Dan. Dan, of course, is with Pentel Realty right here in Northumberland County.
And that doesn't demonstrate versatility, Dave.
Well, no. I'm Smith.
I'm liking the Bolger. I got a little flair there. I think I'm going to use
You're
it.
You're not lacking flair, Dan, are you? You don't need flair.
Well, let's take a look at this this third topic we have here today, the Park Theater in Coburg. Now, the Park Theater's been for sale for a while, and recently it had an offer from the town of Coburg. And this was a very much publicized sales transaction. And from reading in local media, we know that the town had offered $500,000, so we know an offer price. We also know that they had a budget of $600,000. So there were other considerations that were in play. So by what I read in the media, that all had to come within that $600,000 mark. And the sale was pivotal on a building inspection report to see how much it would take to bring the building up to acceptable maintenance levels. Now, the deal has gone south. Council met. They decided it was too much money to invest in this building. Although they didn't actually express what was wrong with the building, because whoever was being interviewed was referring to the fact that saying what was the matter could affect its sale in the future. So finally, it sounded like someone was being careful. Wasn't it just at that point too late to affect a potential sale after all the publicity that went on around this transaction?
Yeah, I really think that negotiating in the open forum was a mistake. And really, again, who are we representing? There is a seller in this transaction, and I believe that the viability of selling this property for the highest and best use mm-hmm. has been compromised. And I'm just not understanding entirely why they chose to go into an open forum to discuss price and the concerns they had with the building. If they had entered into negotiations under a confidentiality agreement, mm-hmm. I think that might have been beneficial for everybody. You've got buyers, you've got sellers. And once they came to an agreement, then you make those things public. But I think the seller has been put at a very large disadvantage here now.
Mm-hmm. Now, I would imagine the concern was that the funds to buy and repair were going to be done somewhat with public money, if not entirely with public money. I'm not sure. But that would likely have been the concern, I would imagine.
I suspect that's true. Now, the town, they do have in-camera sessions where they do use public funds to purchase other things. Mm-hmm. And really entering into a negotiation, getting through the minutiae of inspections and that without investing a lot of money to determine whether you're going to go ahead with the project, and then come forward and announce that you're going to be going ahead. I think there are better ways of handling this, and I'm not sure if they were using the listing brokerage on both sides, or if the town had representatives looking out for their best interests. I'm not privy to that. So
no, that part wasn't publicized, was it? Who was representing who?
So it's possible. It is possible. The scenario was that they were maybe very confident, and this could be a very good announcement for the town. For the future of the Park Theater. Unfortunately, that isn't the way it turned out, or at least to this moment it hasn't turned out. So maybe it's really just about maybe the point at which they should have been a little farther down the line, maybe a little more confident, maybe had a little bit more information that would have maybe protected it from a negative effect.
I agree. And again, in our industry, Dale, we have to think of both sides of the transaction. Mm-hmm. And I go back. So, yeah, the town made an informed decision by walking away, but now the owner is now in a precarious. I mm-hmm. go back. And it's public knowledge. Mm-hmm. If we are selling other properties and they don't come through and complete the transaction. Nobody is aware that they walked away because of an inspection or financing or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure why the town and the seller couldn't have entered into a different realm here.
Exactly. And then the odd part of this, another odd part of this is that they withheld what was the problem with the building, stating that they didn't want to compromise any future sale. But the reality is, wouldn't they have shared that with the seller, their fines, Dan? And at that point, these are known facts. These are facts known about the building that could affect somebody's judgment. And at that point, doesn't the seller have to disclose this to any future potential buyers?
Absolutely. And they... What should have really, and I think what's happened here is, so yes, the seller should have disclosed, and I'm sure there was some disclosure. If there wasn't, every realtor in town that's I've dealt with the Park Theater in the past, I knew of its shortcomings 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, with the type of statements that the town has come out and said regarding the. Without saying what the issues are, I believe there's a stigma attached to this property now, and that's going to hurt any future sale and that hurts the seller.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we've taken on three heavyweight topics here, and we could carry on more on all three, but I just want to lighten it up at the end of
let's
the show.
Let's talk about pizza.
Let's talk about pizza. It's exactly. Maybe you've seen the draft of today's show. So a number of weeks ago, there was an article in the Northumberland News about a real estate transaction that happened in Portland, Oregon, and the buyer owned a pizza place for 38 years, and so. For fun, they were competing, and for fun, the buyer mentioned that they would supply the seller with pizza for life, one pizza a month for the rest of their life for free. Wow. As part of the deal. Well, that pizza offer got put on paper, and they actually won the bid. a strange component of a agreement of purchase and sale. So, Dan, I'm just wondering. It might not be as strange as a pizza for life, but what kind of strange or odd additions to an agreement of purchase and sale have you either experienced or heard about in your career?
Right. Well, it really wasn't an agreement of purchase and sale, but it's a very similar story, actually. And, mm-hmm. it's a local story.
Okay.
I had a landlord locally... make an agreement with a business owner that had a restaurant as well, and she didn't quite qualify financially for the unit up for rent. But she says, "Well, can we work out an agreement that every month when you come to pick up the rent, that I'll have dinner for four for you, and that would make up the difference." And they were able to make out that agreement. So not on agreement of purchase and sale, but on agreement to lease. So that's a Coburg story. So
wow, I would be a bit of a sucker for that.
Well, there's a couple of winners there, but we've tried to balance out the show, and I know. Of a proctologist that tried this, and it did not work well.
Okay, Dave, we're running
free home inspections, Dave. Yeah, is that right? For
are you putting home inspections? And
we're running out of time, Dave.
Just in the same group. Thanks, Dan Bulger.
Well, no, it all. Thanks, Dan, for joining us. You brought some great content today. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for that. Maybe you could share with the listeners where Pentel is located and how the listeners can contact you.
Sure. Well, we've been located at the same location at 541 William Street in the Pentel Plaza in Coburg. And you can contact us either by phone, 905-372-2211, or you can reach us at pentelrealty.com.
Excellent.
Thanks, Dan. Some difficult topics, and I'm glad you were able to join us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
And every show should end with a proctologist joke, I think, from now on. Write that down. There you go. Another show in the books, Mr. Dale Bryant. Thank you, the listener, for spending part of your morning with us, and we look forward to bringing you more real estate talk next week, same bat time, same bat channel. Can you get that cultural reference, Dale, please?
Batman, please. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Next week, we're going to have Christopher Garrett. He is a residential estimator for Moffitt Brothers Roofing from right here in Coburg. Chris is going to give us some great insight into residential roofing systems, common misconceptions regarding roof products and life expectancy, and the growing trend that is metal roofing for residential homes. We're looking forward to Chris joining us next week. If you, as a listener, as a valued listener, have any questions or comments or topic suggestions pertaining to real estate, please feel free to contact Dave by emailing dave@realityrealty.ca, or you can contact Dale by emailing dale@dalebryant.ca, or you can call into the radio station at 905-372-2391.
And don't forget, in our Points to Ponder segment, when I was asking you about what do you expect from your realtor in marketing your home, if you have any ideas of what you would expect or what you think has been in the past the most effective in selling of your home, please share it with one of us this week, and we'd like to put those stories on at a later time. And don't forget to join me, Dale Bryant, and a real estate broker with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage, and Dave Smith, certified home inspector with Pillar to Post Home Inspectors, next Thursday from 11 a.m. until 12 noon for Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio. Until next week, folks.